When we need or want something, there are various ways to get the money required to make the deal. You can, well, wisely save up until you have enough. If you're not patient, you can borrow wisely, or you can borrow in, well, not the best of ways. Taking that last route when it comes to college tuition, as many grads are finding out, is an extremely costly plan. This reality has been brought into a greater spotlight as one of these private lenders has been revealed to have, not the best accounting systems, which could result in billions of dollars of loans being forgiven. And while those borrowers have literally stumbled upon a winning lottery ticket, don't expect the same in your case. If that's where you've been borrowing from, with us now to review this story and present the wiser ways to borrow for college is a financial expert known as America's Money Answer Man. He's former Money Magazine editorial staff member, best-selling author of a series of financial-focused books, Jordan Goodman. How are you today, Jordan?
Great to be with you again, Chris.
And Jordan's website, moneyanswers.com, the entire world of Jordan Goodman found in one location, especially his books, which have the smart advice and the teach you instead of preach at you. More importantly, you don't try to sell you anything. You like too many financial
experts
exactly. Try to do.
So.
Now, this all revolves around a wonderful company known as the National Collegiate Student Loan Trust. And I refer to the fact that as far as accounting goes, they don't have any, apparently.
Well, they have over $5 billion in student loan debt, but they can't find the documentation. Because what happens is these student loans are made, and then they're sold and packaged into securities, which are then bought by investors. It's the same thing that happened with the mortgage-backed securities as well, but they don't have the paperwork of the original loan. So there's a judge involved here who's saying these loans are going to be forgiven, because you don't have proof they were taken out in the first place. So something like $5 billion worth of student loans may be forgiven. And as you say, it's like a lottery ticket for these people who are not expecting to get off scot-free here.
And just as a barometer of just how bad this company is at keeping tabs of everything, you mentioned the $5 billion figure, which could be just wiped off. Their current debt holdings is $12 billion. So that's almost half of the money that they weren't able to keep track of.
That's right. So this happened in the mortgage business, and in many cases, the mortgages were forgiven as well. What happens is when you sell these loans from one place to another, to a servicer, from one to another, the paperwork's supposed to go with it. And it didn't in many cases, and they don't know where it is. So, but as you say, this is a kind of an anomaly for most people. Student loans aren't going to disappear in a flash like this, and it's going to be a huge burden. The average person today is graduating with $38,000 in student loan debt. That's the average. Some people, $50,000, $100,000, $150,000 undergraduate. And if you add graduate on top of that, Chris, medical school, law school, business school, that's easily another $200,000, $300,000, sometimes more than that, before they get their first job. So it's a huge burden. And I think it's changing society because people cannot kind of get started in life as they used to. If they've got this huge amount of student loan debt, they can't go buy cars and homes and start families and kind of get going because they've got this huge burden. That's why over 50% of the people who graduated this year went back and lived at home again. I used to call it the empty nest. Now we call them the boomerang generation because they keep coming back.
Yeah, I was just going to mention we've seen poll after poll, and that number is trending up. I also noticed, too, with the National Collegiate Student Loan Trust, good number of their cases are in Pennsylvania and Delaware, and those are two of the states which have the highest student loan debt amounts.
That's right. That's right. It's just huge. It's just huge. I just don't want people to feel, I mean, if they're in that pool, great. But for most people, they're not going to be in that pool, and they're going to have to pay these student loan backs. And 10 years ago or so, they passed the bankruptcy law, and in the bankruptcy law, it says there are only two debts that are not dischargeable in bankruptcy, IRS debt and student loan debt. So it'll stay with you to the grave, actually. So there are some things, Chris, people can do if they still got student loan debt, if I can help people how to handle it better. Would that be helpful?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, as a follow-up to, I want to get into outlets to go to instead of winding up in those the equivalent of payday loan student loans that these people are getting, fortunately for them, I guess, excused of, but not all of them, as you mentioned.
Right. So the first thing people can do is consolidate. If they got a whole bunch of federal loans at different interest rates, they can consolidate at the lowest possible interest rate. And a website for that would be consolidatecollege.com. It's kind of complicated to figure out how to do that, and they kind of help you do that. So now you'd have one student loan to pay instead of many, at the lowest possible interest rate. So that's one thing they can do.
Wow.
The second thing, and a lot of people don't realize this, Chris, they can refinance their student loans to the 2 to 3% rate, something like that, much, much lower. A lot of these student loans are 5, 6, 7, 10% of their private loans. You get down to 2 to 3%. You combine all the different loans, in effect, into one new one at the lower interest rate and save yourself a lot of money and hopefully pay it off quicker. A website for that would be credible.com, C-R-E-D-I-B-L-E, credible.com, and then put /moneyanswers. They know it's me that way. You get $200 off your first payment if you do it that way. And they have 5 or 6 different lenders that have different programs, and then you figure out what's best for you, but you're going to combine them all into one and combine graduate loans and undergraduate loans, parent loans, all these things, and getting 2 to 3% will certainly help you save it much faster.
For that, we're talking with Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man, former Money Magazine editorial staff member, and a best-selling author of a series of financially focused books, which you can find all at moneyanswers.com. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And it sounds like, too, that there are options. Well, there are lenders who realize that doing as much as possible to get the loans repaid is a lot better than what this one company has done with buying up these loans and then turning them to, as I made the analogy, into payday loans with these mafia-like interest rates.
Right. Well, I mean, when you take them over, they typically don't change the aspect of the loan. They're not going to change the interest rate. They're just kind of, what they're doing is bundling them together and making it to security that investors can profit from. Now, in the case like this, we just talked about the $5 billion. The investors are going to be big losers here, too, because people who bought those student loan-backed securities are going to lose their capital. I mean, this is what happened back in 2008, is the mortgage-backed securities imploded because people were defaulting on their mortgages. The difference there is there's a house that you can foreclose on, fix up, and sell. There's something real there. You can't foreclose on somebody's education. It's not something that's kind of transferable or a physical reality.
Yeah,
so this is just going to go up in smoke here.
Yeah, you can't repossess brain cells.
No. I don't think anybody would want to buy your education. No.
Well, with that in mind, too, when you look at the student loan delinquency rate, around just over 11% delinquency, meaning 90-plus days or in default, if a graduate just hits the wall, what are they risking as far as credit ratings?
Ruining their credit rating, basically. If you are delinquent or default, that's going to show up on your credit. It's almost like a bankruptcy. It's you're not paying back what you owe.
It's no different than a credit card.
It's like anything else. I mean, you have to monitor your credit, see what's going on, and if you're late or delinquent or in default, which as you say, it's well over 10% of the people out there, and it's growing because the amount of debt that people are taking on is growing at these huge levels, and people's incomes are not able to keep up with these amounts. So the default rate, but the difference between this, a credit card, if you go into bankruptcy, you can get that wiped away. If you go into bankruptcy with a student loan, you cannot get it wiped away. So that's what I'm saying. It hangs on forever, and it ruins people's credit ratings forever as well.
Yeah, I guess it's more like a court judgment than a credit debt.
Exactly. And what's happening in many cases, people are going into school and either not graduating at all or taking at least 5 years. I think the number I saw recently was 50% of the people entering undergraduate colleges are either graduating in 5 years or not graduating at all. So then you've got the debt without the degree, and then you're really up the creek, because that happens to a lot of people. Can you imagine paying on an education that you didn't fully get? You didn't get the degree out of it? But that's what's happening to a lot of people. They're not aimed the right direction, Chris. That's the thing. You've got to go into college. You may not know exactly what your major is going to be, but you have to have some direction of what your passion is, what you want to use it for. And a lot of kids go in there, and they have no idea, and they end up having no idea. They go to the career services office in, like, April of their senior year. It's like, well, what do you got for me? It's like, it doesn't work that way. You know, you got to start hanging around that place freshman year and get a sense of the direction you want to go and make it happen. So by the time you graduate with these debts, you've got a way to pay it off.
Or on the flip side of the equation, for parents as well as the kids to look at every avenue of saving as early as possible so that when college age comes around and it's all set to launch into that part of life, you have as much of the nut covered as you possibly can, and your borrowing isn't going to be as much as it needs to be.
The way I like to put it is every dollar you can save or invest up front is one you don't have to borrow when you get to college.
Exactly.
And so probably the best way to do it is these 529 plans, where the money grows tax-free as long as it's used for college expenses. You can do aggressive stocks. You can really make it grow in those 529 plans. And you have until age 30. You don't have to use it only when at age 18. It can be used for graduate school. It can be used for all kinds of different things. And do it on automatic pilot, Chris. Don't kind of wait. I like to say savings and investing is a habit, not an accident. It's not an event that happens once, then it's over. It's something you set up on a regular basis and add $100, $200, $300, whatever you can afford into that thing automatically and start young. I mean, if you start when the kid's a freshman in high school, there's not much time left for the thing to accumulate, really. I did a book on this, by the way, called The Ultimate Guide to Student Loans, which talks about how to save up front, how to get the best loans, and then when you get out of college, how to pay them off as quickly as possible. Because this is the problem of this generation now. We're up to $1.4 trillion in student loan debt. The graduating class we just had a month or so ago added about $100 billion in new debt on top of the existing $1.3
trillion. Wow.
It's just staggering.
And plus the lack of financial literacy by the baby boomers as well as their offspring.
Well, you're right. Because the parents are getting into just as much debt as the kids.
Yeah.
So the new thing now is the kids get completely maxed out how much they can borrow. The parents get maxed out, not only on student loans, but they'll take out home equity loans, life insurance loans, 401k loans, anything that's not nailed down, they'll borrow against. And so they get maxed out. And now the new thing is they're asking the grandparents to pay for the grandkids' education. So the grandparents are taking out their 401ks, their IRAs, reverse mortgages to fund the grandkids. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
And there are so many programs that can help families avoid all that, and that's part of the knowledge and information education you get at Jordan's website and through his many books, which all can be found at moneyanswers.com. He is indeed America's Money Answer Man, former Money Magazine editorial staff member and best-selling author Jordan Goodman. Jordan, you do have the truth and the facts that save people a lot of financial grief, and thanks as always for being here.
Love to help. I'm glad to take their emails at moneyanswers.com as well.